Morning at today's Daf Makos is Daf Hey. We start today on the top of the Amud with the Mishnah. Mishnah continues discussing some of the halachas of Edom Zomimim. Mishalshim Amamimim, Mishalshim Amakos. So the Mishnah starts off with a basic rule, and that's as follows. As we know, Edom Zomimim means that you had a pair of witnesses who have fabricated a story about a person that he's subject to some sort of penalty. And whatever penalty that person is going to be subject to, so that is going to be reciprocated on the Edom Zomimim. So in terms of this reciprocation process, are they going to be receiving the penalty that they assigned to the defendant, or are they going to be able to split? So the Mishnah actually makes a split decision. The Mishnah says that when it comes to money, so the Edom Zomimim are able to split the bill. So as the Mishnah itself is going to about to give an example, but when it comes to Malkus, however, the Edom Zomimim cannot split the bill. Each of the Edom Zomimim are going to have to receive a full complement of Malkus. So first the Mishnah spells out the example case. So they testified about a person that he's subject to pay 200 zuz. Witnesses were then proven to be Edom Zomimim. Mishalshalim b'neihem. So they're going to divide the money. Now, parenthetically, this is not the first time we saw the word mishalshalim. The Mishnah was quoted earlier in the Masechta. It is a strange language. In other words, mechalkim probably would have been a seemingly better word to use. What's the language of mishalshalim? So you remember Rashi earlier, so he struggled with this word. But anyway, they split the bill. Avalim heidu shu chayv malkus arbaim v'nimsu zomim kolecha ve'eka loka arbaim. But in the case of malkus, each one of them is going to be receiving the full complement of malkus. Minani mili, the Gemara starts off with asking the question, where do we get this from? Amar Rabbi, Nemar Rashi b'chayve Malkios, v'nemar Rashi b'chayve Mises Beisdin. Ma lahalan af ein Misa l'mechsa, af kan ein Malkos l'mechsa. Well, you know, when it comes to a capital crime by Edom Zomimim, so they can't split the bill. You'll get a half a death and I'll get a half a death, and between the two of us, we'll now get a full death, which is what we conspired to do to the defendant. It doesn't work that way. So death is binary. Either you're dead or you're not dead. So just like death cannot be split between the two, so too Malkus, which is by Gzeira Shava, some form of death, in other words, some comparable to death, so that can be split as well. Rav Amar Rabbeinu Kasher Zaman Lasos L'Achiv Aleka. So the Gemara says, well, Rav says, look, well, I'm going to give you something even simpler to consider. The Torah says regarding Edom Zomimim that you do to them what they conspired. What did each one of them conspire to do? Each one of them conspired to get this guy Malkus. So now when you reciprocate and you give it to each one of the Edom, they should get a full complement of Malkus. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Mamanami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why don't we say the same thing by Mammon? Each one of them conspired to have this guy lose $200, so why shouldn't each one of them pay $200? Mammon mitzarf, Malkus lo mitzarf. So the Gemara says something very interesting over here, and that is money can be combined, but Malkus cannot be combined. What exactly does that mean? I'll just read the Rashi over here on the Gemara. Mammon mitzarf, are kibo masher ratzu, lafsido ben kulam. You see, when it comes to Mammon, there's an address. What's going to happen is that the Edom Zomimim are going to pull their monies together and they're actually going to give it to somebody, meaning the defendant. And so since it's an address, since somebody's going to be receiving it, so consequently what we can do is now we can aggregate their monies together, we can pool their monies together so that we can, each one is only going to have to pay $100 in a case where they accuse them of having to owe $200. However, when it comes to Malkus, Malkus cannot be combined. Now, seemingly from Rashi, why? So we could say simple pshan Rashi. Because there's no address when it comes to Malkus. They can't give the Malkus over to the defendant. Malkus is simply something you just simply receive. So if you can't give it over to the defendant, so therefore it's not combinable. There's a base Alevi in Parshas Bishalach, who also addresses this issue. He gives a very interesting approach. He says that the reason why Malkus can't be divided amongst the Edom Zomimim is because, let's consider. Now, I know two witnesses is not a great example because I can't divide an odd number by two. Okay, but if you'll permit me just to play around a little bit with the math for just a moment, just to make the point of the Beis Halevi. Okay, so in other words, the Malkus is 40. I know it's not 40. I know it's 39. But let's just assume that it's 40. And now they were accusing the defendant of getting 40 sets of lashes. And so now imagine if we split it so that each one of the witnesses now would get 20. 20 plus 20 does not equal 40, explains the Beis Halevi. Because when you get 40 sets of lashes, so the first 20 are painful, but the next 20 are even more painful. In other words, because when you get from lash 21 to lash 40, that's compounded on top of what was already 1 through 20. So if I give the Edom Zomimim, each one of them, only 20 lashes each, they're not going to be experiencing the same intensity of lashes that the defendant would have received had it received all 40. And so the Beis Halevi says that's why when it comes to the malchus, it can't be divided. But money, of course, money's money. Meaning money, you know, the first dollar is the same as the second dollar is the same as the 200th dollar.
And malchus, by definition, is 40. If you don't give him 20, it's a malchus. It's beating.
Yeah, right. Right. That's an interesting.
Financial pain is not the same either. You've got to pay 100. That's less pain giving up 100 than the guy would give 200.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. Look, these are the svaras that are suggested. The Gemara's explanation is extraordinarily terse, which means it opens the door for more to be said about this matter. We continue in the Mishnah. So here the Mishnah over here. This is the Kolin Kard of Edom Zomim. This is the basic Mishnah regarding how to become an Eid Zomim. So what you have to impugn is them and not their testimony. And the Mishnah here elaborates. So you have a pair of witnesses come in and say there was a murder that took place. Amru lahem, and so the second set of witnesses, the mazimim, second set of witnesses said, hey, chatam eidim sharei nerag ze o hahorig ze hayam manu oso hayom b'makom ploni. Now it can't be that you're right because either the murderer or the victim was with us at the time when you said that the murder transpired. So it's a little bit difficult to believe your story considering the fact that one of the participants in the murder, either assailant or victim, was with us at the time. Now it could be that the murder took place at a later point in time. That could very well be. But you could not have seen it because he was with us. So ein elu zomimim. So this is not a case of Edom Zomimim. Because they're not impugning them, the Edom Zomimim, they're impugning what they're saying. Ava amru lahem. However, if the second set of witnesses say regarding the first set of witnesses, there's no way you could have testified about such an event, you were with us at the time. Right? Imanu hayisim b'makom ploni. You were with us at the time, so there's no way you could have seen such an event. That is Edom Zomimim, and now the punishment of Azama will affect the Edom Zomimim, will be applied towards the Edom Zomimim. Now these Edom HaMazimim are powerful. When I say powerful, I mean what can they do in terms of creating Edom Zomimim? They can create Edom Zomimim pair after pair. For example, the first set of witnesses come and say there was a murder that took place. And the Edom HaMazimim, the second pair, say, well, you were with us at the time. Another pair of witnesses say, no, the murder took place. And then the same Edom HaMazimim say, no, you were with us at the time. And this can go on for 100 pairs of witnesses. If the same Edom HaMazimim continuously say, you were with us at the time, so the Edom HaMazimim now could affect the Hazama punishment for all 100 pairs of witnesses. Rav Yehuda Omer, istatis hi zu. Rav Yehuda says, I smell something terrible over here. How can one pair of witnesses have had such an event where all these people were with them at that same event? It's too suspicious. He basically says, I really do see a conspiracy over here. So we're not going to put to death any of the Edom except for the first pair of witnesses. Now, if that sounds strange to you, good. Because the Gemara is going to be bothered by that as well. Meaning, if you're smelling a conspiracy over here, so that means that we should not regard or register any of the testimony submitted by the Edom HaMazimim. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Menahani Mili, we're going back now to the Etzem Halacha that in order for Edom Zomimim to apply the punishment of Azama, you have to impugn not the facts that they say, but them themselves. How do we know that? Gemara brings down a couple of psukim. Am Rav Ada Damar Krav, Hine Eid Sheker Ha'Eid Sheker Ana Ad Shetishaker Gufa Shel Edus. You must impugn the aid himself, not what he's saying, but the aid himself. Same idea, just a different pasuk, that there has to be something deceitful about the person himself, not what that which he's saying. Amar Rava. Rava now, from here until the bottom of the Amud, is going to be offering us a number of halachas regarding Edom Zomimim. So we start off with the first. Bo shnayim v'amru b'mizrach bira harik ponius anefesh. So the first set of witnesses say, we saw a murder took place in a palatial estate in the east wing. And now a second set of witnesses said, yeah, in the east wing, you know, when you were with us at that time in the west wing. So chazinan. So now, can they both be right? Can the Edom HaMazimim, who said you were with us in the west wing, be correct? And at the same time, the witnesses could have been standing in the west wing and having seen the murder in the east wing. So the Gemara says, well, chazinan. Well, now as basin, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to jump off the bench. We're all going to go to the estate. We're all going to stand in the east wing and we're going to look westbound. And we're going to, Thank you. We're all going to stand in the west wing and we're going to look eastbound. Right. And we're going to see. Chazinan. E kidekaime b'marav. Bira mechze chazal mizrach bira. Ein elu zomimim. V'im lav hara elu zomimim. The Gemara seems to be making a really obvious point, which is why the Gemara is going to ask Pshita in just a moment. But it made a very obvious point. If you could be in the west wing and seeing what's going on in the east wing, so then, elu v'elu, they're both right. And they, and obviously then they're not going to be Edom Zomim. So Pshita, the Gemara says, now, aren't we saying something that's extraordinarily obvious? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detem alechush l'nehura biria kamash malan. Gemara says, well, let us at least entertain the idea, this is a havamina, that these Edom, who we are now alleging are Edom Zomimim, have extra, extra special vision. Extraordinary vision. And allows them to see things that you and I don't see. And so maybe we could argue that. Now, why should their vision be extraordinary vision? Why should it be greater than anyone else's? The probability is, and not only the probability, but the halacha is, we don't assume that. But why would we have assumed that? What is this havamina that the Gemara is just entertaining? Look, we get to save lives. Now, granted, by the way, whose lives are we saving over here? Edom Zomimim, meaning people who may not be the most, the most ethical people out there. But if we can make an argument to save somebody's life, the Hitzilus Aida. So we'll try to make the argument. The Gemara over here failed to make the argument because we don't assume people have extraordinary vision, but at least in the Havamina, we could have made that argument. Amar Rava. Next case of Rava. First set of witnesses come in and say that the murder took place in the town of Sura on a Sunday morning. Second set of witnesses say, what do you mean? They were with us in Naharda on Sunday afternoon. So Sura and Naharda are, I don't know geographically how far away they are from one another, but the Gemara says, over here, once again, we'll make a very simple point. And that is chazinan. So let's just see. Can you leave Sura on a Sunday morning and get to Naharda on Sunday afternoon? If you can do that, so then they're both right. Or they both could be right. And so, yes, their testimony about the murder taking place in Sura on Sunday morning checks. And as far as the Edom HaMazimim, who claim that they saw the first pair of witnesses in Naharda on Sunday afternoon, they could also be right. However, if you can't make it from Surna to Naharda from Sunday morning to Sunday afternoon, so now they're Edom Zomimim. Because we have now established that they were in Naharda on Sunday afternoon by the Edom HaMazimim, and so they couldn't have seen the murder. Again, Pshita, the Gemara says, now what we're saying is both logical and it's obvious. So once again, what do I need Rava for? Gemara says, well, maybe they got on a flying camel. Now, flying camel is an expression of the Gemara. It just simply means that they got on some sort of transportation that goes faster than what we normally imagine to be transportation. So they got on a jet. I know the Gemara didn't know from that, but they traveled on something that was unbelievably fast, even though what that vehicle is may not be known to us. So the Gemara says Kamash Milan, and again it's the same idea. In other words, we're at least entertaining the possibility that something extraordinary happened. But again, the Gemara says, no, we don't entertain that possibility. We work with the natural sequence of events. If you can't naturally normally make it from Sur to Narda, from a Sunday morning to a Saturday afternoon, so then the original Edom are now Edom Zomimim, the story does not check out, and then you do to them what they conspired to do to the defendant. I'm a Rava. Next case of Rava. Now,
once we ask for Edom himself, not somebody else to try the camel. Okay. You say.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. I hear you.
But
okay.
The guy is dead. So what's the difference if he died in one place versus another?
No, we're not talking. Yeah, right. Correct, correct. But that's where the deal now is going on the Edom, meaning right. we're now looking to see whether these Edom, right? This is now a the case we're opening up now is the case on the Edom. Are they going to be put to death? Okay, Amarava. Now over here, okay. This is the it's like those old lawyer shows. So the you just gotta follow the sequence over here, okay? And just what I'll do is I'll have everyone testifying on a Tuesday. You'll see why. The Gemara doesn't use Tuesday as the example, but it's the easiest way to explain it. So let's have the witnesses coming to court testifying on a Tuesday. And you'll see why I say that. Amar Rava, Baruch Shem v'Amru b'chad b'Shabbos harag ploni es hanefesh. So the witnesses come, first set of witnesses come and say that the murder took place on a Sunday. And again, now I'm telling you they testified on Tuesday. Baruch Shem v'Amru imanu ha'yisim b'chad b'Shabbos. So the second set of witnesses say, Sunday, no way. You weren't there on Sunday, you were with us on Sunday. El b'trei b'Shabbos harag ploni es hanefesh. But the second set of witnesses says, but I'll tell you what though, you're right. The murder did take place, but the murder didn't take place on Sunday. It took place on a Monday. Okay. V'lo od. The Gemara says, but before I tell you what the halach is going to be, let's even bring the chiddush up just one level. V'lo od ela afilu amru erev Shabbos harag plonis es hanefesh. Even if the second set of witnesses say, A, you were with us on Sunday at the time, so there's no way you could have been there, and B, there was a murder, it just took place last Friday. So now, when the first set of witnesses testified, and again, they testified on a Tuesday, so was the victim dead? Yeah, he was dead. Was the murderer yet tried for the murder? So the answer, of course, is no. And right? Huh? No, has he been tried yet for the murder? And it could have been that...
They're testifying, so it has to be.
They're testifying on a Tuesday. So as of the time of the testimony of the first set of witnesses, they have not yet been tried. This is the first time they're being brought to trial by Pervadim Zomimim. But in other words, they haven't been brought to trial yet. And so what we're about to learn, I'll read in the sign of the Gemara, right, where the Bach adds just the words, Lefichach, right? I hope I'm right. Yeah. Hare Elu Neheragin. So now these Edom Zomimim are in fact Edom Zomimim, they're going to be put to death. To be Ina to Kamasad de Garvalah Barkatalahu. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why they're going to be put to death. Because even though they testified about a murderer, but he wasn't brought to trial as of yet. And since he wasn't brought to trial as of yet, he is not a bar katala. A borrower phrase that we use here in America, innocent until proven guilty. I'm not saying that that's the explanation of the Gemara. In fact, I will say in just a moment what the explanation of the Gemara is. But the point is that if you're testifying about somebody who has not yet been convicted, so you're testifying about somebody who is not yet dead. So they conspired to kill somebody who's not yet dead. So even though the second set of witnesses have established that he was a murderer, and in fact, he may have murdered even last Friday, which means that by Sunday already, the guy was a murderer. But since the first set of witnesses were testifying about somebody who's not yet dead, so therefore they are considered Edom Zomimim, and they're going to be given the Azama punishment.
But the person cannot possibly be punished now, because...
The Gemara says otherwise, but okay.
But think about it, because we said that once if somebody is absolved, Beit Din has to absolve him from the because of the Zomim, right? He cannot be retried based on additional testimony for the same charges, no?
The first set of witnesses are just thrown out, meaning the second set
right,
said they were with us at the time.
But they're considered Zomim, right?
It's a mistrial. It's not even a trial.
But there has to be a verdict for them to become Zomim, right?
Right.
There has to be a verdict for them
to
become
Zomim.
There was a verdict.
I see where he's coming.
There was a verdict
in the case
for the guy to be a Zomim.
There has to be a verdict. Now let's.
But the verdict was reached.
The verdict based on the testimony was reached.
These guys are they're considered Zomim now.
Right.
Okay. So now the verdict has to be reversed because of the fact that they're Zomim.
Okay.
Now, the accused is not being absolved.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to go...
Now you're retrying him based on additional, but he cannot do that.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to go back to what I said. In other words, by virtue of the fact that they're now Edom Zomimim, so it's a mistrial. In other words, it's not... You can't call that now a trial based on two witnesses now who are proven to be Edom Zomimim. In other words, we're back to zero. Okay. My Kamash Malantanina. Now, the Gemara says, so what did we just learn together? that as long as the Edom Zomimim are accusing somebody who has not yet been caught in a Beis Din and not yet been convicted in a Beis Din, so they are now subject to the Zama punishment. But the Gemara says, but that's a Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's Daf. My Kamash Mantanina. Lefichach Nim says, Achas Mehem Zomimeth, Hu Vehein Neheragin, Veshnia Petura. Now the Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's Daf, a little bit complicated, but it's not so bad. Where you have two pairs of witnesses who see a murder, and or at least two pairs of witnesses reporting that they saw murder, but from two different vantage points. And they go to court and they tell the court their testimony, and the first pair of witnesses turn out to be Edom Zomimim, meaning another pair of witnesses come and say regarding the first pair of witnesses, they were with us at the time. And now they are knocked out. But the second pair of witnesses are fine. So meaning they were good. They weren't impugned. And so now, who's going to be put to death? So the Mishnah later on is going to teach us that the murderer is going to be put to death because there was a pair of witnesses who testified about them. And the Edom Zomimim are also going to be put to death. So the first set of witnesses are going to be put to death as well. So, and the first... Just one second. Just give me a second. So the first set of witnesses now are going to be put to death having testified about somebody who is accused of murder but not yet convicted of murder. So now you see, so basically what Rav is teaching us is something that we're going to be learning in a later Mishnah. Yes?
But the two sets of witnesses, I'm not going to say one card, but if one,
they're from two different vantage points. Seifa Vashnia Petura. So Seifa Mash'ein Kein B'Gemar Din Itzrichlei. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rav's first statement is not a Chiddush. Rav's second statement is a Chiddush. Let's see Rav's second statement. Ba'ushneim, and again, we're going to do the same thing over here. The witnesses are testifying on a Tuesday. Now here's what they're testifying. Not that the guy murdered, that's already history. The guy murdered and was tried in court and convicted in court, and somehow he escaped. But in other words, the pair of witnesses said, we were present for the conviction. And so now what they're trying to do is bring him to another court. Right? Somehow after he fled, they got a hold of him and they brought him now to another court. And the pair of witnesses said, we saw the conviction. Conviction took place on a Sunday. And then a second pair of witnesses say to the first pair of witnesses, about the first pair of witnesses, they're Edom Zomimim. They were with us at the time on Sunday. There's no way they could have seen the conviction. They weren't there. They were with us. Now, the second pair of witnesses also forward the following information. We were there for the conviction. Now, the conviction was last Friday. Or, let's say the second pair of witnesses say that the conviction wasn't last Friday, the conviction was on Monday. In any event, ein elu ne'aragin. So they are not going to be put to death, the Edom Zomimim. Why? Because when they testified on Tuesday about this guy, they were testifying about a convicted murderer. And so therefore, they were testifying about a dead person. And you are not going to get the Hazama punishment when you testify about somebody who is a bar katala. In other words, he's not yet dead, but convicted to be dead. And now what we're going to do is basically, everything we just said we're going to do once again, but instead of the crime of murder, we're going to do some crime that has a kanas penalty attached to it, some punitive fine. And so I'm going to read this quickly because it's all the same, just we're going to swap out some kanas penalty for crime. And the kanas penalty that we're going to be talking about over here is tashlumi dal vehe. When you steal an animal and either sell the animal or shech the animal, so you pay 4 to 5 times the amount of the animal, depending on what animal it is, and that obviously, that 4 to 5 times is obviously kanas. And, ba'ushnaim v'amr b'cha b'shabas ha'ganav v'tavach u'macha, u'ba'ushnaim v'amr b'cha b'shabas ha'imano ha'izim v'ela, b'trei b'shabas ha'ganav v'tavach u'macha, mishamim v'lo od ela afilu amru, b'erev shabas ganav v'tavach u'macha, mishamim, d'b'idna d'ka misa d'gav ala bar tashlame muhu. So again, I know I read that quickly, but the idea is the same exact idea. It's just that instead of the accusation being murder, the accusation over here is having stolen and sold or shechted an animal. Ein mishamim. So here again, exactly what we said previously. What they were testifying was not the crime, but the conviction. They say that the conviction took place on a Sunday. And the second pair of witnesses say, what are you talking about? The conviction took place on Sunday. You were with us at the time on Sunday. But the conviction of the Kenaz took place either last Friday or on Monday. So there, the Edom Zomimim are not given the Kenaz penalty, the reciprocal Kenaz penalty. Why? Because when they testified at the time, the person was already subject to having to pay. So in other words, it is not, they are not looking to find guilty somebody who is not yet guilty. They're trying to find guilty somebody who already is guilty. And so therefore you don't apply the Hazama penalty.
They're not Hazamable.
Okay. Now, the Gemara here has just given us two examples of this principle. That if I, or if a pair, let's not use the pronoun I, if a pair of witnesses try to trump up charges against somebody who may be a murderer but not yet convicted of the murder, so then those pair of witnesses are eligible to become Edom Zomimim. Same thing regarding Kenaz. If a pair of witnesses are trying to trump up charges that somebody owes Kenaz, even though the crime may have occurred already, but Basin has not yet convicted him, so once again, they're eligible for Hazama. If in both of those events, the Edom are testifying after the conviction, so then the Edom are not Hazamable. Okay, you cannot do the Hazama on them. Okay. Right. So,
if
you're not going to be convicted, it's right. So Danny's wondering why specifically these cases. So let's ask a simple question: What if instead of a capital crime or instead of kenas, let's say it's just a simple case of mammon, of money, where Edom Zomimim are accusing somebody having stolen, and it is now proven that they did in fact steal, but the Edom Zomimim were not the ones who saw it. Somebody else saw it. But in other words, they didn't go to Basin yet and they weren't yet convicted. Are we going to say the same thing regarding a simple monetary obligation? So Tosfos over here says, we're not going to say the same thing. And Tosfos over here introduces us to an interesting idea. Tosfos says, I'll tell you the difference. Because when it comes to something like theft, so once the criminal has done the act of theft, so the chances that he's going to be convicted, really high. Meaning, I'm saying if he's brought to Beis Din. Chances of a conviction are really high. So in other words, when it comes to the Edom Zomimim accusing somebody of theft, so, and again, they're Edom Zomimim. They obviously made up the story. But as long as we know that they were thieves at the time, even though Beis Din didn't convict them, but the act of thievery and the conviction more probably is going to happen. But when it comes to a Kenaz and when it comes to a Ritzicha, just because they did the crime, so to say, and just because they're brought to Beis Din, doesn't necessarily mean that a conviction would occur. Tosfos points out over here, a lot's going to happen in between the crime and the conviction. Drisha v'chakira, it's a long arduous process. So that means to say that in the case of the murder, or in the case of the Kenaz as well, just because the Edom Zomimim are saying it about somebody who in fact murdered, but that doesn't mean that he himself is going to be executed necessarily. Okay. When it comes to Mammon, however, Tosfos says that the conviction is much easier. Okay. I encourage you, please, take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eger right here on the daf, where Rabbi Kiva Eger gives a much simpler svara in terms of distinguishing between the cases of Ritzich and Kenaz versus that of Mammon. I'm not going to go through it right now. I do want to complete the daf today. But I encourage you to do so. It's right here on the daf. It's in the Gilyon HaShas. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Amar Istatis Izu. Rav Yehuda says that all this is highly suspicious. Remember the case of the Mishnah. A pair of witnesses come in and trump up charges. The second set of witnesses, the Edom Mazimim, say, Imanu Yisim Amal Komponi, they were with us at the time. Now, another pair of witnesses repeat the same story as the first set of witnesses. The Edom Mazimim say, they were with us at the time. And that continues and continues. And even if that goes 100 pairs of witnesses deep, all of them are going to be Edom Zomimim, all of them are going to be given the reciprocal punishment. And Rav Yehuda says, I smell something terrible over here. It's so suspicious. It's a bit of a conspiracy. At least I think so. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says, nobody's going to be put to death except for the first pair. Now, The Gemara asked a question which is the obvious question to ask. We're on the very top of the Amud Beis. E istatis hizu afilu kasrishon anami lo. The question we're all wondering. Well, if it all sounds suspicious and you're considering now conspiracy, so now should we not believe the Edom HaMazimim on any of the witnesses, including of course the first pair. So Amar Rabbi Abba Ushakidma Vahargu. So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah is talking about a scenario in which we already killed the first pair, and after that comes in a second pair and a third pair and a fourth pair. To which the Gemara says, my dahava hava. Gemara says, okay, but then the Mishnah is not telling me a halacha, the Mishnah is then telling me a story. And it's an interesting story, but it's just a story. Meaning the Mishnah here is to teach us halacha. In other words, if the halacha is we believe them on the first but not on the other ones, okay. But if the case was, well, the first one's already died, and then afterwards all the next ones come in, well then, my dahava hava. That's just, it's an interesting story, but that's not teaching us a halacha. So the Gemara says, Ela marava hachi kamar, im eino alakas achas ne'eragas. So what Rava does, what Rava does is Rava reads the Mishnah, it's a little bit forced, but what Rav Yehuda is saying is that if there's only one set of witnesses, then we're going to believe the Edom Mazimim over the Zomimim. But once you have multiple pairs of witnesses who are repeating the same story, so now we're going to start wondering, these Edom HaMazimim, are they really telling the truth? To which the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not what the Mishnah says. El Kasachas Neragas Iika Tvei Ein Neragin. So how Bilvad Kamar? Yeah, but again, you read the Mishnah, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying the only pair of witnesses that are going to be put to death are only going to be the first pair, which means that we're talking about a case where there are multiple pairs of witnesses, and yet we're only putting the first pair of death, and according to Rav Yehuda, no subsequent pairs of witnesses. Kasha, the Gemara basically ends off in frustration. We really don't have a good pshat in Rav Yehuda. Why is it that if, in fact, according to Rav Yehuda, you feel that there's something fishy going on? And it's suspicious. So we are now no longer going to believe the Edom HaMazimim except for the first pair of witnesses. Why should that be? So the Gemara leaves us off with a cliffhanger.
Did we get Malchus, the one who, because he assigned it, because they gave false testimony?
I don't
believe them.
we don't pass in that way. In other words, for Losana, you don't get Malchus.
Why Losana?
It's a lavshin.
Who was saying that you were with
that? Yeah. It's a lav shem b'maisa. We said yesterday.
Yeah, but according to the one.
Right, according to Rav Meir, maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. The continuing in the Gemara. Sorry. Hi, Yisusa de Asisade Vishtaker. A woman came to court and she had she was a towing. She had a claim and she brought her first pair of witnesses. First pair of witnesses were caught lying. And we can make this really simple. Meaning, let's say that through the questioning of Basin, they crossed each other. What, in other words, fine. So they were caught lying. So, Isis Adav Ishtaker. She brings a second pair of witnesses. They're also caught lying. Now, Azla Isis Adav Achrina, Velo Ishtaker. Now, she brings a third pair of witnesses and their story matches. Story matches. It sounds like they're telling the truth. But now, in other words, all of us, if we're sitting on the bench, so we'd all be thinking the same thing. Hey, yeah, something's up. Meaning the first pair of witnesses were caught lying. The second pair of witnesses caught lying. Like, something's up. So Reish Lakish, Amar Reish Lakish, Huchzaka Zu. So Reish Lakish basically says, I'm smelling something terrible over here. We can't find anything wrong with the story as being reported by the third set of witnesses, but they do follow two pairs of witnesses, each one of them caught lying. Yeah, no good. So Amar Le Rav Elazar, Im Hi Huchzaka, Ko Yisrael, Mi Huchzaka. So Rav Elazar says to Reish Lakish, look, the woman over here, obviously, right, she doesn't smack of honesty. I'm with you on that. But now what are you doing? You're maligning witnesses. Meaning, it's true the first pair of witnesses lied, and it's true the second pair of witnesses lied. But the third pair of witnesses, I understand that she herself now has this air of suspicion about her, because she brought in the first four witnesses that are lying, but witnesses five and six, in other words, we don't have to impugn their testimony because of her. So Rav Elazar says, I'm ready to listen to the third pair of witnesses.
What
Just give me one second. So Zimnin Havu Yasvei Kamed de Rav Yochanan. Now, on another occasion, Reish Lakish was together with his brother-in-law, Rav Yochanan. And the same scenario was brought in front of Rav Yochanan. So, Am Reish Lakish Chuchza Gazu. Now, Reish Lakish said exactly what he said in the previous case. Meaning where you had a litigant who brought in a pair of witnesses who were caught lying. So Reish Lakish said, I don't know. When I say I don't know, I mean I'm highly suspicious. And even though that third pair, I can't tell you what's wrong with them, but something's wrong. Doesn't smell right. And Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, now here's what Rabbi Yochanan says to his brother-in-law, Im huchzeku zuko yisrael mi huchzeku. Look, the first two pair of witnesses were lying. That doesn't mean the second pair, the third set of witnesses are lying. And what are you going to do? You're just going to impugn all of the Jewish people? So in other words, again, so Rav Yochanan is saying the same thing that Rav Elazar said. Now remember, in terms of Rebbe Talmud, Rebbe Elazar was a student of Rav Yochanan. Whatever Rav Elazar learned was probably from Rav Yochanan. And here, we don't have to say probably. We could say definitely. Meaning Rav Elazar was repeating the same line that he heard from Rav Yochanan. What was the problem? When Rav Elazar said it, he didn't quote his source. And so even though he told Reish Lakish, you know, I think that the third set of witnesses should be fine over here, just because the first two were proven to be liars, that doesn't mean that all the Jewish people are liars. But what Rav Elazar did not do is he didn't quote his Rebbe. And Hadar Chazi le Rebbe Elazar Bishas. And so now when Reish Lakish discovered that Rav Elazar was not making an original point, and that Rav Elazar was just simply repeating that which he heard from his Rebbe, but didn't quote his Rebbe, so Reish Lakish stared down Rav Elazar. And basically what Reish Lakish was saying to Rav Elazar without saying it is, you know, next time you say something, tell me who you got it from. Don't just say it as if it's your own.
Is Rav Elazar's credit that he always said the name of Rav Elazar?
Yeah, and it could very well be that Rav Elazar's thought process was that everything he says is Rav Yochanan, and he didn't have to quote Rav Yochanan. Okay. Amar le shamas mili, I'm sorry, Amar le shamas mili mi barnafcha velo Amar le mishmei. And Reish Lakish then chastises Rav Elazar. You heard it from Bar Nafcha. Bar Nafcha, of course, is his brother-in-law. Right? We just saw that back in Chelek, that Rav Yochanan was the son of a blacksmith. You heard this from the son of the blacksmith, and you didn't tell me? And next time, make sure to cite your sources. Now, Lema Reish Lakish Damakar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yochanan Damakar Rabbanan. Now, what is all this doing over here? So seemingly, the Gemara says this Machlokish in Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is, in fact, the same Machlokish we saw back in our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah, we had 100 pairs of witnesses coming, all getting knocked out by the same Edom HaMazimim. Now the Tanakhama says, okay, fine. In other words, I believe the Edom HaMazimim, and they don't think something suspicious is going on. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, in the Mishnah says, no, something suspicious is going on. You really think it's likely that the one pair of Edom HaMazimim had all these people by them at the time of the crime? That's unusual. And not only is it unusual, Rav Yehuda says, basically, at this point in time, I'm going to discredit the Mazimim. So now, the Gemara says, this machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish seemingly is exactly that machlokus. Meaning, if there's an air of something foul going on, so basically, even though I can't tell you what it is, do we passel based on suspicion? So the Gemara says that maybe that's exactly the point. So, Am lecha Reish Lakish, ana d'amir lecha afilu Rabbanan. And Reish Lakish will tell you that, no, I hold like the Chachamim. Ad kan lo ka'amir Rabbanan ha'asam d'leka d'kamahadar, ava ha'cha ikaha d'kamahadra. Reish Lakish says, here's the difference between the two cases. In the case of the woman, she's the one forwarding the Edom. Oh, you didn't like that first pair of witnesses? Okay, wait, I got a second pair. Oh, the second pair didn't come out good? Okay, let me bring in a third pair. So in other words, all these witnesses are brought by her. So there is now a common link, and because there's a common link, and because the first two pairs of witnesses now were lying, so Reish Lakish says that's cause for alarm. In the Mishnah, however, the witnesses are coming on their own. No one's bringing them. Okay. And Rav Yochanan Amalachan Adami Afil L'Rebbe Yehuda. Ad kan lokam Rebbe Yehuda Asam Darminan Atukole Amagabi Hani Havakaime. Avahacha Hani Yad Besadusa Avahani Lo Yad Besadusa. And Rav Yochanan says, I could also make a distinction. Look, in the case of the Mishnah, these one pair of Edom HaMazimim say, they were with us at the time, and they were with us at the time, and for 100 pairs of witnesses, they were with us at the time. Really? What did you have? You had a big party? They were all with you at the time. It's really unlikely. It's unusual. And at that point in time, like, the red flag should go off, meaning the right siren should be going off. Like, what is going on over here that these Edom and Mezimim had all these people with them at the time? It's highly suspicious. And so therefore, that's Shitas Rav Yehuda. Over here, you had three pairs of witnesses. The first two were caught lying, but that doesn't mean that the third pair is lying. Third pair knows what's going on. The first two didn't know what was going on. So again, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan just simply say, you don't have to pigeonhole us into one of those Shitas. We could be subscribing to the other Shita Satana. We are continuing now in the Mishnah. So, Edom Zomimim are only going to be given the punishment of Hazama only after the Gemar Din. Now, as far as the Tzedukim concern, who did not subscribe to Torah Shabbat Peh, so they gave whatever interpretation they thought was the correct one in the Torah, without following the Masorah. So they said, look at the Parsha of Edom Zomimim in Parsha Shoftim, Perikit Test, and you'll see it follows with the words Nefesh Shachas Nefesh, a life for a life. So when do you give the Hazama punishment? Only when the life was taken. Then and only then do we do to the Zomimim what they did to the defendant. And the Chachamim say no. In other words, the Hazama penalty is only going to be while the brother is still there, meaning while the defendant is still alive. Once the defendant is dead, however, so then the Hazama penalty is not going to be given to the Edom Zomimim. The Imkein Lama Nemar Nefesh Shachas Nefesh. So then what are you going to do with the subsequent part of the Parsha? Yachal Mishah Shekiblo Edosam Yargu Tam Lama Nefesh Shachas Nefesh Ha'ina Naragim Ashi Nigmar Hadin. The Nefesh Shachas Nefesh is coming to tell me that the only time that the Edom Zomimim are first eligible to become Edom Zomimim is only if they're proven to be Edom Zomimim after the Gemar Din. Which basically means that the window, we made this point at the beginning of the Masechta, the window of opportunity for the Edom Zomimim to be given the Hazama penalty is a very small window. It's only from the point of Gemar Din to the point where they're actually executed. Prior to Gemar Din, we'll just simply dismiss the case. And the Edom Zomimim are going to go away and go free. After the execution, thank you. Okay, again, it's that English language, I know. After the execution, so then it's too late because the case is now over. That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. Okay.
So they will get
mouthed. Huh?
They'll get
mouthed. I don't know, Phil. You're ready to dish out Malkus today. I hear you. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. But we could debate that issue later. Okay. Excellent. That's another excellent question. The Gemara never discusses that. That is discussed amongst the Rishonim. That little I know. Okay. With all that stated now. Tana Baribi, Omer lo haragu neragin, hargu eina haragin. Okay, and now, basically what we just learned in our Mishnah, so Baribi is the name of a Tana, so he says it really succinctly, that once the defendant is put to death, ein neragin. So then the Edom Zomimim are not put to death. I'll quote the Ramba.
Huh? What
are you teaching? It's a catchphrase. The Ramban on Chumash in Parsha Shoftim, so he says it beautifully. I don't have the Ramban in front of me. Please look it up. So I'm speaking also to myself. So the Ramban on Chumash says it's counterintuitive, right? In other words, if we're going to kill the Edom Zomimim for a conspiracy to kill somebody, so don't you think that we should put the Edom Zomimim to death for actually putting somebody to death? So it's an obvious question, and it's dealt with extensively. And I'm just providing over here this morning the Ramban's approach, and he says like this. He says that, look, with every Beis Din, so the Beis Din obviously are operating with whatever they know. And obviously, they're operating with the limits of both the human mind and also whatever information is provided to them. And they can't do anything more than that. So in other words, if witnesses come and say that this person killed, and the witnesses seem fine, so what is Beis Din supposed to do? Beis Din is supposed to go through the process. The Ramban writes in Chumash, in Parsha Shoftim, the reason why if Beis Din actually put somebody to death, based on the testimony of what our Edim Zomamim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have allowed that to happen had there not actually have been reason for the defendant to be put to death. Meaning we have to then subscribe to this idea that if Beis Din actually did it and went through with it and put the defendant to death based on the testimony of these Edim, even though the Edim were now at a later point in time proven to be Edim Zomamim, it must be that Hashem, who is involved in every court, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have allowed the defendant to actually have been put to death had he not deserved so. And the Ramban says that's why Nehrag, once the defendant is put to death, ain't a Nehragin. So then the Edom Zomim are in fact not put to death. Okay. There are other approaches, by the way, to this dilemma, but this morning the Ramban and Chumash is a starting point. Amar Aviv, Bini, Lav Kav HaChomer Hu. So now, isn't it logical? Meaning, what we just said, if the Edom Zomim are going to be put to death for just wanting, conspiring to kill somebody, so for sure they should be put to death if they actually implemented that punishment. Amar lo lemaratein rabbeinu in onshim min adin. We don't punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. Did Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Isha sheyikach esachos abas aviv obas imo. Ein li ela bas aviv shlo bas imo. Ubas imo shlo bas aviv. Bas imo ubas aviv minayin. The Torah talks about having erva arayos with one sister, and the Torah talks about with a maternal sister or a paternal sister, what we call here a half sibling. So how do I know that if a man were to have relations with a full sister who you share both a mother and father with, that one would be subject to a penalty? Tamar lomar ervas achoso gila. The Torah has to spell it out. Why would the Torah have to spell it out? It's the simplest kal v'chomer. If one is going to be subject to a punishment for having relations with a half sibling, certainly one should be subject to a punishment for having relations with a full sibling. And this is where the Torah is teaching us that we cannot punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. What about an isser? How about establishing an isser based on a kal v'chomer? That too we're not going to do. Tamar lomar, ervas achoscha bas avicha, o bas imecha, ein lele bas aviv shelo bas imo. Ubas imo shelo bas aviv ubas imo minayin. Tamar lomar, ervas bas eshes avicha, moledes avicha, achoscha hi. Once again, in the parsha of Achremos, where the Torah sets up the isurim, the lavim, so the Torah once again has to provide a separate phrase to include somebody who's a full sibling. And again, Achalo Yamar Yeshli Menadin. Ma im huzar abas imo. Shelo bas aviv, ubas aviv shelo bas imo, bas aviv ubas imo lo kol shekein. Again, if there is an isser for a half sibling, certainly there should be an isser for a full sibling. Limanata shein mazirin menadin. So once again, you can't establish a law based on a kavachomer. Now this is all true for an Isser Kares of having relations with one sister. How about subject to Malkus? Tamalomer Rasha Rasha. So we have over here a Gzereshava. Chayve Galius Minayin Asa Roseach Roseach. And we have a Gzereshava that includes this principle also for Chayve Galus as well. Tanya. Am Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tavai. Era Ben Nechama. Im Lo Harakti Eid Zomim Lo Tzim Laban Shed Sidukin Shayu Omrim. So Rav Yehuda ben Tabai says, here's what I did. I killed an Eid Zomim to disprove the Tzedukim, because they say that the Eid Zomim is only put to death after the defendant is put to death. And to show them that they're wrong, the position is wrong. So I took an Eid Zomim and I put him to death prior to the defendant being put to death. So Amar lo Shimon Meshetach Erev Benachama Im Lo Shafach Dam Naki. So Rabbi Shimon Meshetach says to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai, you know you killed somebody you shouldn't have killed. Because the rule is, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, we'll see tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, the Edom Zomimim are only going to be given the Hazama penalty when both of them are proven to be Edom Zomimim. And you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai, you only killed one who was proven to be an Eid Zomim, and it wasn't the case where both of them were proven to be Eid Zomim. Ve'ein lokin achi yozim u'shneim, miyad kibal alav Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, she'inu mora hora'a ela lefnei shem ha'meshetach. And Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, from that point forward, having now had a real miscarriage of justice. I mean, can you imagine? Mm. Rav Yehuda ben Tavai killed somebody. When I say killed, I mean through Beis Din. Executed somebody, and he did so unlawfully. He did not have. He was not under the legal right to do so. And so now, after being corrected by Shimon Meshatach, so we'll talk about his guilt in just a moment, the amount of guilt he was suffering. But he said, from this point going forward, I will only rule with Shimon Meshatach present. And then for the rest of his life, he went into the gravesite of that aid that he had executed. Now, the voice came out, meaning somebody was wailing. Now, who was wailing? So, Kisvur Ma'am Lamar Kol Shal Harug. So, and everyone thought the one who was executed is wailing. Now, I understand that, you know, rational people wouldn't think that way, but okay. So, Amar Koli Shalihu. So, he was explaining to everybody, no, it was me who was wailing. Teidu Lamachru Humeis in Kol Nishma. And he says, and I'll prove it. Now, again, in other words, for the rational thinker, like, you don't need a proof, but he says, look, it's very simple. When I die, you're not going to hear any more wailing. It was me who was wailing. Gemara says, look, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just simply saying the proof is not that conclusive. Number one, that once Rav Yehuda ben Tavai dies, so then he himself is taken to Beis Din Shomala, and that's why the murder stopped wailing. Or it could be that after Rav Yehuda ben Tavai passes on, he then meets the aid up in Shemayim, and they have some sort of appeasement. Again, the Gemara is just simply saying the proof is not conclusive. You know, the Gemara in its methodology so brilliantly says, you know, a proof has to be an ironclad proof. The argument of Yehuda ben Tavai is not ironclad. Ad Kan, we stop over here today. We really covered some of the most basic issues regarding Edom Zomimim. Number one, can you divide the punishment amongst the Edom Zomimim? Number two, Edom Zomimim is only when you impugn them, not the facts that they say. And number three, the window of opportunity of when an Edom Zomim is going to be given the penalty of Hazama, only from the point of Gemar Din to the point of actual execution.